Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 15. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 15. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ: "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And our subject this morning is "Beware of false prophets." Beware of false prophets. Well, normally, as many of you know, the Lord's Day morning, we preach, or I preach, evangelistically. And although the gospel will be included in my address this morning, well, this will probably feel more like a teaching service, because these words, well, they are teaching us. And before I go any further, well, it's just to remind you of this tremendous passage of Scripture. It's not so long ago that we looked at the Sermon on the Mount. We were in chapter 5, I think about 3 weeks ago, and we considered one of the Beatitudes: "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And well, I repeat my exhortation to every single one of you to read this sermon, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. So many people come up to me, they don't know what to read in the Bible. The Bible is such a big book. Where should I start? What should I read? Well, you would do very well to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. Read it. When you finish it, read it again. Memorize it if you want to. So many thousands of Christians in the past have memorized vast portions of this great sermon. And of course, it is something that deserves memorization and meditation. Just to remind you, this sermon, well, it has words of promise, the Beatitudes, blessings declared to those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has instruction for us, how to live a holy life, how to obey the Lord. But it also, as we shall see this morning, has words of warning. Warning. The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he did have a warning ministry. We must warn from time to time. Sermons can't always be comfort and encouragement. We have to warn people. Some churches, they're very scared of warning people. So many congregations nowadays, they just want to be comforted. Just tell us about the love of God. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be warned. Just stroke us. Just make us feel nice. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he warned people. And he is the model for our ministry, for every preacher. And so from time to time, we have to preach in this way. It couldn't be clearer a warning here. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. What a strong word that is. Beware. Be warned. Avoid false prophets. Be on your guard against them. False prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Who are these false prophets? Who are they? Well, normally or commonly, when we speak of prophets, we quite often think of people who can foretell the future, like the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah. Yes, they were men raised of God. They could foretell the future. Very often it wasn't a very good future for the children of Israel. They would normally prophesy that the children of Israel were to be punished, judged for their disobedience. So they weren't good prophecies. But also we know that particularly Isaiah, He even could see into the future concerning Christ, concerning details about Christ's life, about the gospel age, about Christ's birth, and about his death. So normally when we think of prophets, it's about somebody who can see into the future. But you can't limit it to that. A prophet, well, is somebody who publicly declares the word of God, declares what God says. Whenever somebody comes to preach, yes, it can be considered as prophesying. And even we as a congregation, when we pray together, when we sing the hymns, we are declaring the word of God. We are, in a sense, prophesying. So it's not just telling the future like some mystic, but we prophesy when we declare the word of God. And that is the sense that we can apply it here. Beware of false prophets, false teachers, you could say. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is, of course, speaking of religious teachers. Beware of false religious teachers. Now, I'm not going to speak about other religions, other religious teachers, although we could include them in this category. We could include other religions as false teachers. The scriptures, the word of God, makes it very clear that Christ is the only way to God. This is the only truth. So if it affirms that, it means that all the other religions, well, they are false. They are false prophets, all the other religions. So you could include it in that category, but I'm not going to speak about that this morning, because very sadly, and we have to acknowledge this, that even in modern Christianity, there are false teachers. Even in modern Christianity, and we have to beware of them. I'm not going to spend that much time, but there are so many false teachers who preach another gospel. Another gospel. You go to some churches, they will make out as though the gospel is all about this life. How to acquire good things in this life. How to have good health. How to have a good career. How to have success in your relationships. Or to be rich. Have you ever heard that? The prosperity gospel. Very common nowadays in churches. That's what God wants for you. To be so tremendously rich. So come to church, and this is the gospel, this is the message of the Bible, that you can be rich. That is their false gospel. And of course, the way that people are made rich, well, what do they say to you? You have to give all your money to the church, and then God will bless you with tremendous riches. But these are false teachers, dear friends. These are false teachers, and we have to beware of people such as this. The gospel, the true gospel that the Bible presents to us, is not about earthly riches, earthly wealth. It's about spiritual riches. It's about the riches that we know in Christ, the riches of his grace, all our sins freely forgiven, your sin debt cancelled out. So great is the riches of God's grace. That's what it's about. It's not about earthly riches at all. It's about spiritual riches. And so we have to beware of these false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Oh, they sound very good, look very spiritual. What a godly man that preacher is in that prosperity church. But inwardly, well, he just wants money for himself. But let me come away from religion and even from Christianity just for a few moments. Because when we think about false teachers, false prophets, it's not just in the sphere of religion. You can have false prophets in the world, in the secular world, on the media, in our educational system. Those who promote false doctrines, false philosophies, false beliefs. These are teachers. They're very influential teachers on the TV and on the radio. But they are false prophets, no doubt about it. And let's just think about a couple of things perhaps that they teach. Well, a great teaching nowadays, great in the sense that it's widespread, not great in any other way. One influential teaching is that there is no God. How many people say that? False teachers in this world, great atheists, great unbelievers who publish all these books and go onto the TV. There is no God. That's their false teaching. And so many people lap it up. They say, these false teachers, that people who follow religion, or specifically the Christian faith, well, they're all deluded. They're all foolish. They're all utterly misguided or uneducated. That's false teaching. They talk about the Bible. Oh, the Bible, it's so oppressive. It's been the source of so much wickedness in this world and down through the ages. It's out of date, it's wicked, we shouldn't have anything to do with it. That's a false teaching. Of course it is. The Bible, the Word of God, well, far from being the source of all that is evil, it's the source of all that is right and honest and true. It's only when you actually remove the Bible from society, then things become evil. Then things become wicked. For the last 30 years, or perhaps even more than that, society has, well, been so determined to throw the Bible out. And what do we see? What is the fruit of this liberal society that has removed the Bible? Do we see a wonderful, peaceful society? Or are actually we're living in greater fear than we ever did before? I see a far more fearful society in front of us. I see a society that is still full of injustice, still full of prejudice and confusion and division. Well, this nation has never been more divided. Look at the state of the nation, politically, socially, economically. Well, this is the fruit of throwing out the Bible. This is the fruit of all these things. And well, there are so many people who are lost. So many people who are lost, confused. And I think particularly of the young. There are teenagers, 15, 16 years old, or people in their early 20s. They're depressed. They're suicidal. Did that happen 30, 40 years ago? Was that the case in history? That young children were depressed, clinically depressed? No, it's only in the last 30 years. This has risen. Why? So much darkness, so much confusion, because this Word of God, the source of truth, has been thrown out completely. And that's why these things come to pass. And well, I have to speak about these things. But let's continue about some of this false teaching. Another thing that these false teachers like to proclaim and goes against Scripture, we are not sinners. We are not sinners. We hear that all the time. There's no such thing as sin. In fact, you're a good person. We're all intrinsically good. And the secret to your life, well, it's yourself. Just believe in yourself. You can do it. You can fulfill all your dreams. You can live a wonderfully happy life just by yourself. You can do it. You don't need God. You don't need the Bible. You don't need religion. You don't need spirituality. Just do it all by yourself. The key is in you. That is the vilest of false teaching. That puts that great wall between you and God. I don't need God. And this is being peddled so often. The truth of the Word of God teaches us more accurately. We are sinners by nature. We all need forgiveness. We all need Christ. That's the truth. Don't listen to these false prophets. But why do so many people fall foul of these lies? Why? Well, I've already touched upon it. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. when these false teachers come to you, they present themselves to you as something harmless, in sheep's clothing. A sheep is harmless. A sheep perhaps is in a way quite attractive. You would go up and stroke it or something. There's nothing wrong with it. And all these false teachers, when they peddle their lies, they present it as something attractive. Oh, there's nothing wrong with what I'm saying. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? They come in sheep's clothing, and everybody swallows it. But let me put this to you. This tactic of coming in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, this is a tactic employed by the enemy of souls himself. This is a tactic employed by Satan. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What does that mean? Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Well, that means that when Satan comes to tempt us, he doesn't come like an evil man with an ugly face. He comes in a beautiful personality, as if to say, oh, I love you. I'm an angel. I want what's best for you. I want your best interests. That's how Satan comes and tempts us. Every single one of us, every individual, he comes and tempts you and says, don't listen to God. I want what's best for you. He transforms himself into an angel of light, and we have to be very aware of this. Wasn't this the case in the Garden of Eden? Remember, Satan was there. And what did he say to Adam and Eve? He said to them, oh, God is denying something from you, which I want to give to you. God is denying you that fruit, that forbidden fruit, because he's cruel and he's mean. I am kind. I am loving. I want what's best for you. So take that fruit. He came as though he was in the best interests. But inwardly, he wanted death to come into the world. He wanted man to be separate from God. And that's what he wants, dear friends. Don't listen to Satan. Satan, his main objective, his main aim, is to cut you off from God. That's all he's interested in. To put that barrier between you and the Almighty. And this is, well, the evidence that we see here in these verses. He wants to separate us from God. But let me continue in this verse, or rather in the verses following in Matthew, because time is running on. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. There is a comparison here, a good tree and a corrupt tree. What is the good tree? Well, the good tree, of course, are those who preach the gospel, and they have fruit to show, souls saved through the preaching of the gospel. But equally, it could mean any Christian. Anybody who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are those good trees that bring forth good fruit. They are those people who have not listened to the false teachers. They've listened to the word of God. They've said to themselves, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I do need Christ. I can't trust in myself. I can't believe in myself. I have to trust in Christ. He has taken the punishment for my sin. He's the only way I can be forgiven. There's no point trusting in me. I have to put all my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they have that faith, well, that seed is sown and they grow up to be a good tree and they bear much fruit for God. Well, those of us who are believers here, let me ask something of you. Do you have fruit from your faith? Do you have fruit? What have you done for the Lord? Do you live for God? Is there an act of service that you labor in for the Lord? Where is your fruit? Do you obey God? Are there fruits of obedience in your life? Are there fruits of sacrifice? Have you ever sacrificed for God? What can you look back on in your life and say, that was fruit for the Lord? That was an act of witness. That was an act of service and instrumentality. Do we have fruit? Every true Christian, because of their faith, will have fruit in their lives. So that's a challenge for every single one of us. But these corrupt trees, let's talk about the corrupt tree. They are those without God. Anybody here who is without God? Perhaps there's somebody here or someone who will listen to this message in future days. A corrupt tree. People who have lived without God. There may be some who have achieved much in their lives. Many qualifications, much status, much wealth, have gone very far in their career. They're very well esteemed. But if you don't know God, all that fruit, all your achievements is worth nothing. It's corrupt fruit in the sight of God. When you stand before God at the end of your life with just your achievements, it's as though God will taste and spit it out. It's corrupt fruit. You need that good fruit. You need to be a good tree based on the faith that Christ Jesus has come and died for your sin. You must have it. You must seek it. Look at these words. Look at verse 19. These words of warning to those who don't know the Lord. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The judgment fire. Those who don't know Christ, those who never had faith in him and therefore had no fruit, well, they will be lost eternally at the end of time. Those who listen to the false teachers, that is their lot. But dear friends, if there are any like that here, let me exhort to you, there is still time to come. There is still time for you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent of all your sin. You know, it's been my personal experience, and this will be my last comment, and I know it's been the personal experience of some of you because you've mentioned this to me, but many believers know unbelievers, people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are atheists perhaps, and well, normally they mock us, they deride us, but very often there will come a time in life when those people, those unbelievers, they will see the fruits of our faith. They will see our blessedness, our peace, our conduct. They will see the beauty of our profession. And they will say to us, I envy your faith. I envy your faith. Perhaps some of you have already heard this. An unbeliever comes to you and says, I envy your faith. I wish I had your faith. Well, whenever I hear that, I think, how foolish. You don't have to envy anybody's faith. You can claim it for yourself. There's nothing stopping you to claim that faith. You don't have to envy it. Let me put it to you in this way, an illustration. Think of two people in a swimming pool. One person has his head above the water. The other person has his head below the water. The person with his head below the water, well, he's looking up at the person with his head above the water, and he thinks to himself, oh, I envy him. His head is above the water. He can breathe. I can't. My head is below the water. How I envy him. How foolish that is. All you've got to do is stand up. Get up out of the water and you'll be able to breathe. And so how foolish it is when people say, I envy your faith. All you've got to do is come to Christ and pray to him and say, Lord, forgive me all my sin. I know I'm a lost sinner, but I know there is salvation in Christ. All you have to do is yield your life, confess your sin, and you will be saved. Envy your faith, that's not an excuse, that's not a reason. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ now, or you will be envying the faith of the elect forever, in eternity, envying the faith of all those who are saved, while you are eternally lost. Well, dear friends, I will close with that point. But beware false teachers. That was our first point. Who is teaching you in your life? Is it the false teachers or is it the Word of God? If you believe the false teachers, well, you are heading for judgment. There's no hope for you. But if you trust in the Word of God, there is everlasting life, a life of faith in this world, and everlasting life with God in the next. Let's pray together, dear friends. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we do pray that Thou wouldest work in the heart and in the mind of all those who stubbornly resist Thee. O Lord, may they not envy our faith, but lay hold upon it. For they can, O Lord, if they will only reach out, if they will only cry unto Thee. Thou art the God who, as we have just sung, hears when sinners cry. Hear our cry even now this day, and bless us all. We ask it all in our Saviour's name, and for His sake. Amen.